Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, February 14th, 2010.
We've been considering the Psalms of the, what the Jews call the Hallel, Psalm 113 through 118. There is another Psalm that the Jewish people called the Great Hallel, partly because of the length of it, and partly because of the contents. So turn with me tonight to the 136th Psalm, the Great Hallel. And we'll read through it first. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love that endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords for his steadfast love that endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon, the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Do you suppose his steadfast love endures forever? This was a psalm that was a special psalm for Israel. It was a responsive song. The priest would sing the first part, and the people would respond for the last part. This type of song was especially common in our own country during the early part of the 19th century, when literacy, especially on the frontier, was not very high, and hymn books were not very plentiful, and the song leader would, what they called, line out a song. He would sing a part, and the people would respond for the same response all the way through it. Our song in the carol book, Drinking at the Fountain, is one of the relics of that time. But this was a responsive song in Israel, where the priests would sing the first part and the people would respond to the second. And it goes all the way back to David, too. For in the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles, we read one of David's songs, "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and then let them say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. The sea roareth, let the field exult and everything in it. Then the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And David wrote this as he brought with joy the Ark of the Covenant to the mountain of God after the Philistines had sent it back. You remember the story how the Philistines had overrun Israel and they had completely destroyed the tabernacle at Shiloh and taken the Ark of the Covenant and put it into the temple of their God in Philistia. And the temple of, and the idol of Dagon fell down overnight and broke his head off. You remember that story? And finally, the Philistines decided it wasn't a good idea to fool with the God of Israel. So they put it on an ox cart and pointed it in the direction of Israel. And without even a driver, those oxen took it back to Israel. But they stored it for a long time in the home of a Levite named Obed-Edom until David could prepare a place for it. And as they brought it back to the place David had prepared for it, to a tent that he had pitched for it, until the temple could be built, he had composed this to sing at the time, that glad time of bringing back the ark. Also, In the seventh chapter of 2 Chronicles, we see here when Solomon dedicated the temple, and it was a time of great rejoicing. In the seventh chapter of 2 Chronicles, I said to David, it was Solomon who dedicated the temple. "As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down, and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground and to the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever." And then on another occasion, they sang this great hallel, this great song. It's in the 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came against Jehoshaphat for to battle, and some of the men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar," that is, En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek the help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, our God, the God of our fathers, God of heaven, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to them forever for a descendant of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, Solomon had prayed this. Or famine, we will stand before this house, before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when we came out of the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know but what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed for at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. This was just above the mountaintop as it descended to the Dead Sea. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe the prophets, and you will be saved." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army. Now imagine this. The army of Judah is a small army, but they took the priests along with them. Now this was not a joyous time as on the other two occasions. Rededication of the Ark of the Covenant and the dedication of the temple. This was a solemn time. This was a fearful time. But the Levites were appointed, those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire, and they went before the army and they say, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Now picture this army with priests going before them, singing this 138th psalm, and hearing the priests say, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast," and the people and the soldiers responding, "For his steadfast love endures forever," through this long psalm. And then we read, "Then they began to sing and praise the Lord, and the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and that they were routed. So that the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of all the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. And Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness. And they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. So they sang this psalm as the army marched out. And this was a song of rejoicing, to sing a song of great trial, a song of fear and time. So perhaps that would be a lesson for us. When we sing, feel blue, when we have the blahs, when we don't feel like even singing at all, to sing some of the songs of rejoicing that we love to sing anyway, and see what the Lord will do. So now, let's read this psalm again without the repetitious response. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him who by understanding made the heavens, to him who spread out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights, to him the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, he who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercies endure forever. This psalm recounts Israel's history, a good deal of it. And like King Jehoshaphat and his people, in a time of trial, in a time of sadness, to sing the songs of praise to God for the past, it is good to look to our past, not to cry over spilt milk, not to complain about things that went wrong, not to wish things were different from the past, not to look at our own handicaps that we feel have held us back, but to rather flip the coin and see how good the Lord has been to us, what blessings he has given to us, what great friends he has blessed us with, and what great lessons he has taught us from his word by the very mishaps of life. Here we see Israel doing this very thing. First, they were to praise God for who he is. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. This was especially remarkable in that day and time, because only Israel at this time worshiped this God of heaven. None of the gods of the heathen was good. Even in their mythologies, they were evil. They were wicked. And even to this day, the people who worship spirits or idols, they are malevolent. When we lived in New Mexico, there was a neighbor of ours who said, "Why do these missionaries have to come out here and disturb all these Indian people? They're happy in their religion." Which only showed her ignorance, and she was an educated woman. They are not happy in their native religion. She was speaking particularly of the Navajos, and their whole religion is based upon fear. And so were all of the pagan religions, based upon fear of their gods, on fear of the spirits. That's why they offered propitiating sacrifices to them, some even human sacrifices, to placate them. There are people in the world today like that too. Think how blessed we are that we can give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And if you don't believe it, look back over your life and see if He hasn't been good to you. Give thanks to the God of gods, for He is the only God there is. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. We read in the New Testament, "For there are gods many, and there are lords many." That is, in the imaginations of mankind. And those very imaginations hold them in thrall to those ideas, to those imaginary gods. And the lords, some of them, of the heathen were human lords. As we noticed this morning in Sunday school class, conquerors and tyrants who build themselves as the great or as the champions of the people. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He is God, the good God. He is the God of gods, the only God. He is the Lord of lords, who treats His people with everlasting mercy. Next, they were to praise a God for what He does. First, for what He does in redemption. No, first for what He does in creation, and then for what He does in redemption. For what He does in creation, to Him who alone does great wonders. I like that, to Him who alone does great wonders. To Him who by understanding made the heavens. And we think we're so smart that we can float above the earth into the outer heavens. He made the heavens, to Him who spread out the earth above the waters. Yes, to Him who parted the supercontinent Gaia and made this world inhabitable for us. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters. To Him who made great lights that astronomers spend lifetimes studying and still are finding out things about it. One of the recent satellites sent up by this country was to more accurately study the mysteries of the sun. Did you know there are any mysteries of the sun left? Well, there are. The sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. And then for praise God for what He does to Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, who divided the Red Sea, who led Israel out through the Exodus and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to him who led his people in the wilderness. We read in the New Testament they wandered in the wilderness, but they didn't just aimlessly wander in the wilderness. He led them in the wilderness. They went from here to there, and he showed Moses, who was familiar with this country, he had spent 40 years there, where the watering holes were, where the oases were, where they could rest. He led them in the wilderness, and he struck down great kings. We read in the book of Joshua, mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an heritage, a heritage to his Israel, his servant. And he who remembered us in our low estate, time and again, Israel turned away from the covenant, turned away from God. But he didn't turn away from them. Oh, he punished them, but he didn't turn away from them. He remembered them in their low estate, and he rescued us from our foes. He gives food to all flesh. He gives thanks. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And again, that word, the steadfast love, is that word that is characteristic of all of the Old Testament. His steadfast love, his tender mercies, his covenant kindness, his everlasting kindness to his people. And he who treated Israel this way is our God. He's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Father. And he guides us through the wilderness of our lives. So in times of rejoicing, we can sing, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In times of sorrow and sadness, we can sing, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Whenever we gather together, we can sing thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Do you wonder that this was called the Great Hallel and was often sung by Israel? Just so we have hymns that in our own day, in our own time, speak of the wonder and the glory of God and of his creation and of our redemption. Let us give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.